Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass. Alongside me, as always, Mr. Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales. This week, we have a guest in Paul Wallace from Supercars of London.
Now press that button. There we go.
I think ever since season three started, but maybe even way back from season one, you've been begging to come on the podcast at the same time as Tony so that you can ruin him.
Oh, good luck with that. I mean, I'm going to enjoy this one more than anyone I've ever done.
I'm going to be very sensible today.
Okay. He's bottled it.
You have come dressed as a supply teacher, though, Tony. Yeah.
Okay, you've guys. Come dressed as a chav.
Hold on a sec. Let's not go off the rails too soon. Anyway, welcome. If you are joining us on YouTube, please make sure that you subscribe and turn on notifications. Tony, what's the number we're trying to get to?
50,000.
50,000 subscribers. That is the aim. That is the game. Once we get there, one of you will be joining us for an episode of Behind the Glass.
Ooh, cool.
Hello. And if you're listening to us, please make sure to keep following us in whatever platform you're listening to us on.
And reviews.
Oh, there he is. He's on form today. Someone's had his coffee. Yes, reviews. That's what we want. We want your 5-star reviews. Pressure's on, people. But if you don't like us, feel free to let us know as well. We appreciate the feedback.
Probably the more reviews, the better, right?
That's exactly it. We're just going for volume. not quality, quantity.
Quantity over quality.
just get those reviews in. Anyway, now we've got the housekeeping out of the way. Today is our Geneva Motor Show special. Mm. Slight issue with that.
It didn't happen.
There wasn't a Geneva Motor Show. In case you missed the big news, this year's Geneva Motor Show was cancelled due to hashtag coronavirus.
COVID-20, whatever.
COVID-19.
Oh, come on,
well,
man.
We're in 2020, so.
Yeah, but it started in 19.
Oh, got it.
He's all over the shop. But what it did is it led to manufacturers launching cars in a sort of unique way, basically turning to the internet.
And I was quite vocal about this on my stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're going to get into it. Because for me, really, it seems like the manufacturers just turned to Shmi and JWW. I feel like that was the strategy this year. How are we going to launch cars? I know what. We'll get Shmi and JWW along to film the cars.
Let's be honest, though. Those two were the king of Geneva Motor Shows. Shmi is a machine during that show.
And they are the most two professional ones as well.
Yeah. The most presentable, I'd like
I'd
to
agree.
Say.
The most knowledgeable, the most presentable.
I haven't shaved since January. Yeah.
If anyone you two was look like be... just got out of bed.
If I was totally put in front of a Koenigsegg Jumeirah, or if that's even what it's called, I wouldn't know what to say.
No.
I'd just be like, oh.
What's a what is that?
Oh, we're going to get onto it, Tony. Just
oh,
we're going,
it's coming, is it?
Quite excitingly for you viewers and listeners, before we started recording, I did say to Tony and Paul, like, do you know, like, are you aware of all the cars that came out this week? Both of them went, what? So this is going to be a journey of discovery. I have luckily made notes. I've come prepared for the first time ever to a recording of Behind the Glass. To give you all a preview, the cars that we're going to be discussing in today's episode, the Alfa Giulia GTA, the BAC Mono S, the Bentley Bacalava or Bacalar, whatever it's called, Bugatti Chiron Pure Sport, the Koenigsegg Gamera, the McLaren 765 LT, the Morgan Plus 4, the Porsche 911 Turbo, and the Golf GTI.
Oh, well, then, well, we've got one, at least one really good one, the Golf GTI I spoke about.
Tony's favourite. Of course, there have been tons of other cars launched over the last week, but none of them really interested us, so we're going to get into it anyway. So, yes, welcome to our Geneva Motor Show special with Paul Wallace from Supercars of London. We'll be right back with you in 2 seconds to break down the cars that were launched this week.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's kick things off with a car that I'm going to be quite vocal about.
And I sound like you.
Well, I think in the wrong way as well. I think people are going to expect me to say one thing. I'm going to say the other because we're going to start with the Alfa Giulia GTA M.
Floor's yours, boy. Off you go.
Well, I just think it's ridiculous. I think it's
comes from a man that's bought into a 4C.
Yeah. This is, I mean, you know, everyone says, oh, Alfa Romeo, you're your master, love it. He's the best car brand in the world. This car really pisses me off. Now, I frustratingly still love the Jaguar XE Project 8, which is effectively the exact same car, but with a Jaguar badge instead of an Alfa badge. But what annoys me about this Giulia GTA thing is that the Giulia was a fantastic car, really good looking car, and a car that didn't really need messing around with. I don't think it, you know, needed more power. It didn't need much. And what they've done is they've gone, oh, let's make it 100 kilograms lighter, put a roll cage in the back so it's no longer a four-seater, put a really Halfords looking wing on it, and then claim that Sauber Formula One team were involved in the development. Something they shouldn't really be celebrating. I mean, let's face it, Sauber didn't exactly have a good year last year. It's not like going, oh my God, the Williams developed this car. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah, didn't Singer do that?
Oh, yeah, Singer did. No, that's Williams Advanced Technologies, which I think arguably are a better company than the actual Formula One team. But yes, come on, share your thoughts when you saw this car, because this was the first car that kind of got launched this week. Mm. Tony, I'll kickstart things with you. What were your thoughts on the GTA and GTA M?
Well, I think you've been a bit hypocritical, really, because you just banged on about that car.
The XE Project 8.
No.
Oh, sorry.
The Alpha.
The Alpha.
Right.
About how bad it is.
Yeah.
I thought you was describing the Project 8. I mean, they're the same car.
One's he did got say that they're the same car.
Yeah, but he loves the Project 8. And he don't, I mean, they're the same. One's got an Alpha badge and one's got a Jag badge.
But the Alpha one doesn't look good. And the Julia, like, the XE Project 8 is a better looking XE, in my opinion. It's a beefier, meaner, aggressive looking XE. Whilst the Giulia GTA, I think, is a worse looking, chavved up to... coin your phrase, version of the Giulia. Everyone wanted the GTA to be a two-door coupe. That's what we were all hoping for.
Yeah,
no?
We were actually, you're right. Yeah,
instead they've gone, no, we bring back this really iconic name, this moniker, and just it's just the Halford spec. That's what they should have called it, the Giulia Halfords.
Don't think like, they have Halfords in Italy.
No, and actually for any non-UK listeners or viewers, Halfords is, how would we describe it?
It's an auto shop where Paul takes his car.
It's an auto shop where you can go to buy basically anything for your car. Fundamentally very useful, but the modification segment is questionable in the sense that usually it's quite low priced, and so the range is also not the best looking. And yeah, so anyway, I think you've all got the idea. But Paul, come on, I know you're a big fan of the Alfa Romeo brand and cars. What were your thoughts on the GTO?
It sounded like Alfa were flapping because they were like, oh, we have nothing to show for ourselves this year. The same with Maserati every single year.
And
actually, I think
I got a bit butthurt there. But
the Giulia QV, we did a video on it.
We did.
Love that car. Brilliant car. Now starting to see it creep down to like 35, 40 grand. It's like, this is seriously cool. It's
M3 comp money.
Yeah. When I saw this GTA thing, firstly, all I could think of was like, oh, is Grand Theft Auto 6 out? Like, exciting. And then when I realized that it had this like sort of weird wing on the back, like it confused the hell out of me. I haven't done a lot of research like you have, but it just sounded like Alfa Romeo were really panicking that they couldn't bring anything to the biggest motor show platform in the world. And they bought that.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, let's not. There are two versions. There's the GTA and there's the GTA M. So think of that for Project 8 fans as the Project 8 or the Project 8 Touring, because
didn't
the GTA
even know that's existed.
Yes. No, I don't. I mean, you've lost me.
Sorry, I went to Jaguar there. The GTA basically is a slightly dulled down version. It hasn't got the wing, hasn't got the roll cage, so it's slow.
Oh, that's the one I'll buy then.
Yeah, it's still got four seats. It's not quite as in your face. But fundamentally, it's the bit that annoys me is the GTA moniker. It's like if Ferrari put the GTO on a Bath 595. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not
that low.
Yeah, because GTA is like, cool, that's supposed to be reserved for really like iconic, amazing, and I think coupe alphas.
Ferrari done that, mate, with the 599, put GTO. I mean, should they have done that? Really?
Tough, but when else were they going to do it? And it's still a great car, that 599 GTO. And like, how can you, like, when do you say...
I think the GTO is more iconic than the TDF.
Agreed.
Yeah. And maybe long term, it'll be better in terms of value as well.
Mm. Because, the 599 was a worse car than the F12.
100%.
Yeah. For sure. But at the time, the 599 was a thing. GTO, obviously, a lot has been made out of that moniker over the years. It's like, obviously, one of the most iconic car letters.
But kind of accidental.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't expecting the GTO when they go, hey, let's call this one the GTO, for it to completely blow up and have this cult craze behind it.
They had to use it again at some point. So I don't knock them entirely for that. And now they've not done it again yet. Thank God. Oh, Ferrari, please don't just ruin yourselves further.
They'll SUV GTO.
But you know, that's really what I was thinking. I was like, please don't let it be the pure sang GTO. Given the way that they're going at the moment, it could be that. But yeah, so it's more the badge that upsets me, and the fact that they've messed up, I think, the styling of the Giulia more than actually the concept, because yes, obviously I do like the theoretical idea of a stupidly impractical, loud and fast saloon.
But you know, that's classical Italian companies, though, mate. I mean, they literally just make it up as they go along.
They
do that when they build their cars. Like, they forget to put parts on and go, oh, dear. Instead of... Sorry, that was an Indian.
Yeah, that was
an Indian mechanic.
Who's working in the Lamborghini
factory? Well, it's because they just constantly drink red wine, don't they? Look at my Murcielago.
Or sleep.
I think they forget that to put seatbelts in. They're like, oh, like, we put seatbelts in. There's no room that side. Or we'll just put them through the middle. So I've got to go that side for the seatbelt. And then the reverse is like just a random button down there. I'm like, oh.
You're right. They forget. Yeah. They go, the car is beautiful. It sounds amazing. How do you get in it? Oh, we need doors.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, Paul addressed that problem with his car. His one ain't got doors.
If you're not aware, Paul's Murcielago recently been resprayed and is in bits. Oh, I think now it's no longer in bits.
It's rebuilt.
It has been in bits for a long time. Yeah. At Barkways, is that where it's been?
SB Race Engineering.
SB Race Engineering. So yeah, Tony is fond of mobbing up Paul for the fact that his very expensive Lamborghini is in pieces. But yeah, okay, well, we'll move on. I'll hold judgment until I drive one. I'm sure it'll be fantastic because I did love the Giulia, as we've all just agreed. It's
we
an amazing
like the Giulia,
car,
right?
Yeah.
And they theoretically made it better because it's lighter and a little bit more track focused. So yeah, anyway, moving on from the Alfa to a car that I don't think we're going to talk about for very long. It's the BAC Mono S.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, no, take a guess what they've done to it. Because visually it looks identical. So take a guess. What have they done to the Mono?
Put an S on it. At least you just wrote an S the same.
Not quite. Almost.
Okay.
Didn't they change... There's like new headlights on it or new lights on the front end.
It's a bit more than that. There is a performance upgrade.
By how much?
Pass.
Okay, so the, let me tell you the disappointing part and then the interesting part. 25 more horsepower.
Okay.
Turbocharged now.
They got 25 horsepower. I'm a turbo.
30% more torque.
Okay.
I mean,
it was much faster than.
Yeah, I think they had a few monos lying around and went, yeah. What do we do with
these? I mean, they're better off just telling the driver to lose weight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the BAC Mono is a wicked car.
I love that thing. I drove it once in a monsoon and I was like, it's the coolest thing ever. I mean, like, ultimate toy. Yeah. Have you ever driven one, Tony?
I've never driven one, but a couple have come spanking past me before
on track.
Yeah. They're so fast. Yeah. So
I think you'd love it, mate. Yeah. I think you would love it. Yeah. Your new obsession with track days, I think you'd be all over that.
Cops flat in one of them, do you think?
Silverstone's all flat. I've seen it before.
That's what he said. Silverstone.
Paul doesn't know where the brake pedal is when he's on track. We've all witnessed that. Okay, well, look, yeah, BAC Mono S, that was the news from them. Not a lot to talk about. So we're going to move on to my current brand of favour? No, my favourite brand of the moment. It's the Bentley Bacalava.
Oh, that's that convertible thing that's 1.5 million.
Actually, a Barchetta, permanently convertible. It's not got a convertible roof.
Even
it's,
more useless.
Yeah, they're making 12 of them.
For LA.
Yeah, and it's actually not called the Bacalava, but I just like calling it that. It's called the Bacalar. And yes, fundamentally, absolutely pointless. But I know why they built this.
Go on.
So
is this a customer commissioned?
No, because it is a limited number of cars. Like they're building 12 of them, which are probably all sold. I don't really know. When I was in New York last year, and Bentley, sorry if you're going to absolutely kill me for saying this, I went to an event with the EXP 100 GT, which was that amazing
concept
car they launched for their 100th anniversary. Actually legit, super cool. Everyone fell in love with it. The internet fell in love with it. And whilst I was there, I bumped into the designers and I was just chatting to them casually, which is why Bentley might come after me for talking about this.
But this is a confidential chat.
They admitted that they'd received genuine interest from people trying to buy that concept. Like people were genuinely going nuts, going like, I want that car. How do I get it? And they never really thought that that would be the case. So I reckon that they said, okay, how can we build another car that's not this EXP 100 GT? Because there's just no way to actually make that for customers, but we'll take a lot of the elements. And that's what they have done. A lot of the elements on this Bacalar, are from the EXP 100 GT.
Is it still a Bentley Continental GTC?
No. So there's only two body parts that are the same, the door handles and...
No, but the platform.
Oh yeah, the platform, of course.
So they're charging 1.5 million for a GTC.
It's like that Rolls Royce with the custom body.
Yeah, that was like 10 million quid.
Yeah. So it's the bodywork, which is what they're charging a lot, and the materials.
And do they class as genuine interest 12 people? Because how many cars they built?
I'm assuming that was the 12 people that said, I want to buy an EXP 100 GT, and they went, oh.
But how old were they? 12?
Let me ask you.
It was in their comments on Instagram. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they've done it. I mean, of all the things that I wanted Bentley to launch, it wasn't a Bacalava, I can be honest.
Yeah, bizarre.
Like, bizarre.
And it's not even hybrid?
No.
It's not even electric?
No.
So it's...
W12.
That's a W12. I mean, I probably should we check that really quickly? Where should
it will be a
but
W12.
But the concept is like, it's all about...
Oh yeah, future car. It's really electric. Yeah.
So it seems bizarre for them to just go, oh, let's just shove the same engine in that we put in all of our cars that's not even that special. Because you can buy a Bentley Continental GT for like 16 grand now.
So it's all about, you know, celebrating the sort of handmade sort of nature.
But all of their cars are handmade.
It's a return to bespoke coach building. That's what they're all about. Okay. I'm really struggling to find any information on it, but bear with me.
So is this the Bentley Eagle Speedster then?
The Bentley Eagle? No.
Eagle is obviously...
This is, you know, built in-house, you know, with the Mulliner team. And I think it's just supposed to show off what they can do. But as I say, my belief is that it is just to answer those questions they had from people saying, I want to buy an EXP 100 GT. Mm. Anyway, unfortunately, I'm now struggling to find this information and to not make this
time
a super awkward segment. Let's move on. Anyway, there we go. None of us are going to be buying the Bacalar, so good luck to those people who are. Let's move on to another car that none of us are going to be buying. The Bugatti Chiron Pure Sport.
Now, this is out of order, this car.
Oh, bloody hell. Whoa. Here he is.
Whoa. Well, no, come on, then. Because I was talking to a couple of friends of mine today, and if you've just spent 2 million quid. 200.
Yeah.
200 million.
2 million quid on a car, and they build another one 6 minutes later with a little bit more power.
But you do realise that's Bugatti's business model and has been since the Veyron.
Yeah, but
give them a many special editions of the Veyron did they do?
I know, but terrifying. Give them a bit more time though, mate. I mean, that the Chiron's just out.
Yeah, so they had like, what, a 2-3 year waiting list on the Chiron, and then 2 years in, they dropped the Chiron Sport that was like 5 kilograms lighter. Mm-hmm. So all of the rich people are going, man, I need that car now. So they're going to order that. Then they go, oh, here's the Super Sport. Then they do this special edition. In about a year and a half, they'll do like a convertible version of it.
Crap.
Just so that they can continue
it's so the rich
to,
people keep buying cars.
Yeah.
I mean, this one theoretically is, this is the Bugatti for the driver rather than the cruiser. Because as we both know, having been Chiron drivers over here.
No, I didn't drive it, sadly.
Oh, didn't you?
No, sadly.
Oh. Well, speaking as the only person who's driven it, it is still effectively a very, very fast Bentley.
That is massively underselling it.
It is underselling it. And actually, I drove the Chiron Sport, which is arguably a bit more taut and aggressive.
This one looks super cool.
So this is supposed to be the driver's car. So it's 50 kilograms lighter, 50 kilograms more downforce, €1 million more with a 3D printed titanium exhaust. And so lots of details which, you know, aren't like, it's just a Chiron with a wing. It's got this big fixed wing at the back. And it's supposed to be able to go around corners and sideways. Apparently it's got a variable drift mode.
I mean, would you ever stick that mode on in a 3 million quid car?
That goes 200 and whatever miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, name me a Bugatti customer that wants to do that.
No, there isn't one.
Carl Hartley.
Yeah. Fair. He's banned.
Fair. But you know what I mean? I feel like somebody's gone somewhere like, oh, you know, Bugattis are great, but they don't really go around corners, and someone's gone, don't take this insult.
Have you seen their testing procedure? You know, all Chirons are delivered with like 450 miles.
Are they?
Yeah. All brand new Chirons arrive at the customer with 450 miles on.
Wow, I'd be fuming.
Me too.
They go through insane testing.
Do
so
they?
Yeah. You can pretty sure they test corners.
Yeah.
I'd love it if that's wrong and somebody's putting delivery mileage cars up. 400 miles. Your delivery mileage, mate. But yeah, I mean, we're going to see them. They're going to be cool. Would you have this or would you have a Devo? Because how much was the Devo? 5 mil?
Oh, I would have this. I think this looks better than the Devo.
Tony, do you know what the Devo is?
It's the Navaleri one, isn't it?
Yeah, the one with that looks very different.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not interested in either of them, mate.
Okay.
Not
have you driven a Veyron?
Don't
get him started.
Been in a Veyron.
Okay.
Not driven one, been in one.
Did you like it?
Well, it's just like fast and straight line, and I'm not interested, mate.
But did you like sitting in it?
Not really.
Oh. I mean, and when you get... God, I hate you so much.
No, because when you get in a Veyron now, it's like you got in a car from 1990s.
No, it's still
it's
banging.
It's iconic.
It's still banging.
It's Concorde.
No.
It's Concorde, there you go.
Concorde for the road.
Materials are great, design is simplistic but elegant.
There's no sat-nav, mate.
Mate.
Google Maps, in between your legs.
Sort your life
out. You're not allowed to do that.
Not what? All cars can be Golf GTIs.
You've got to put your phone in the glove box now.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
you do, mate. You do.
Really?
Are you not putting your phone in the glove box?
No.
Sort your life out.
Well, he gets away with it.
My car doesn't even have a glove box.
It did before you took it apart. Okay, well, I don't really know. I feel like we need to talk about something that's going to be appropriate, but we're not, because we're now going to move on to Tony's favourite car of the non-Geneva Motor Show, the Koenigsegg Gemera.
I've ordered one. Yeah, I've ordered one. 2 years is coming.
Do you know how much the deposit is?
I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, but I've ordered one. I'm buying one.
Congrats, mate. Can't wait for that. Should we do that?
A big reveal.
That's going to be the title of this podcast. That's going to be the title of this podcast.
How Tony bought a Koenigsegg.
How did you?
I'm not telling you.
Hard work.
Hard grafting.
Shocking news came through this week that we know someone that did. Mr. JWW has ordered one of these brand new four-seater, 1,700 horsepower Koenigseggs. Now,
Hyper GT.
The billionaires that I know, of which are very few, went nuts for this car. Yeah. Did you say just my dad?
I was just about to say that.
Oh, how my dad wishes he was in that realm. He would only be interested if it was a £4 billion Range Rover anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Is it going to go up, Sam? Should I buy it?
That's exactly how he talks.
This is Sam.
We are alike, unfortunately. But yes, so for some reason... Mm. These really, really wealthy people seem to think this was the coolest car ever. Like the amount of people that I know that I, you know, don't really have a realistic approach on money seem to just love this thing. I looked at it and went, well, what a piece of crap. I mean, like, so we're talking about a 2-litre, 3-cylinder engine that puts out 600 horsepower. Okay, impressive.
I can't wait.
Like, yeah. That's great. Can't wait. Can't wait for your delivery. Then 3 electric motors, one on the crankshaft of the engine, which puts in some more horsepower, I think 400 or something like that, and then 2 on the rear axle, leading to that 700. I mean, okay, fine. 0-60, less than 2 seconds with your mates in the back.
My daughter.
Yeah.
I put my daughter in the back.
Sorry, you put your daughter in the back. Okay, Paul, go in.
I'm going to jump in. Because I was very vocal about this Koenigsegg when I first saw it. I was like, what is the point in this? What is the point in a 4-seater car that is this fast? And then there were a lot of messages that I got back saying, what's the point in most hypercars or supercars? And then I kind of got this perspective of, actually, it's doing something for the sake of it, for the love of it. And Christian von Koenigsegg is all about that. All of his cars is just because he loves cars. So this is kind of a new challenge for him. And I started to gain a different perspective on this car. However, Koenigseggs have always been notorious for being incredibly dangerous, twitchy, very hard to get power down, even though they've broken records and everything. This just gives people the excuse or opportunity to put 2 more lives in danger, in my words. Like a 2-seater car, yeah, when you want to go fast, you kind of go fast and you feel that you're responsible for the person next to you. Having 2 extra people in the back of the car and then going that fast just feels like you're putting more people in danger.
4-wheel drive though.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
1700 brake horsepower.
Tony's trying to protect his investment over there.
And my children.
And your children.
Yeah, I see what you're saying there. I kind of get the sort of why not question, like thing. It's because it's, I think, so unrelatable to us. I mean, apart from Tony, but maybe you and I, Paul. It's so, you know, we don't connect with it because I'm never going to look to buy one. I'm never going to be in that position to buy one.
No, you can afford one. JWW can. You can have one.
No, me and James, unfortunately, very different leagues.
No, you're both in the same job. You're both YouTube.
No. Oh, well,
No.
Hey, he's ordered one. I haven't, so...
He's got a kid.
He's got
family man.
He's a family man. He needs the 4 seats. It all works different. Look at Shmi's collection. Me and Shmi do the same job, but
look at my collection.
Yeah. Look at Paul's collection.
But Shmi's got a lot more followers than you. Been doing it a lot longer.
Fair.
James has got the same amount of followers than
He's
you.
He's got more than me, actually.
Okay, Okay. Perhaps a little bit harder. You can have a Koenigsegg.
Yeah. Thanks for the advice, Tony. I'll get some tips from you after the show.
You come halves with me. Yeah, come on.
Go halves with you?
Yeah, because you're going to have children in a minute as well, so we can share.
Oh, God, here he is. Don't get Vicky getting carried away. No, let's
just
move on before this gets
awkward.
Family
holidays, you and Sam in the front and your 2 kids in the back. Yeah.
The next road trip to Ireland. Yeah. The next road trip to Ireland with our Koenigsegg Gamera. But yeah, it's got lots of neat features on it. My thing with Koenigsegg is it feels like they always keep bringing out these like mad, insane, ridiculous cars. Where's the Jesko? Like, has that even hit production yet? And suddenly there's a Gamera. Like, every year.
But they've just launched a new one, haven't they?
Yeah, there's a...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
High speed or low speed?
High speed.
High speed running.
Yeah. That's a slight in-joke.
An in-joke to some amazing content on YouTube.
But look at Koenigsegg and I just feel like technologically they are continually... flying the flag for the automotive companies, given that they are kind of building cars in a shed. I know that it's not a shed, but you know what I mean. Like, look at Pagani, for example.
Well,
they're still churning out Zondas.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least Koenigsegg are going forward.
Yeah, I think they've kind
they put
of...
two more seats in.
They've definitely...
Entertainment.
Oh, no, sorry. Wait, hold on. They've definitely...
on Pagani.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they've definitely that on Pagani because, yeah, where are Pagani? What are they? And it has to be applauded for the ingenuity.
Innovation.
Innovation, for sure. I just am a bit like deliver a Jesco first, then, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, they've probably delivered like three Regueras.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, why didn't they build an SUV?
Oh, don't stop.
Well, what else is?
I mean, they're halfway there with this.
That's what I'm saying. GT.
Call it a GTO. Okay, so moving on and away from big, big expensive stuff to something which is still expensive, but maybe a little bit more relevant to us in the room and maybe some of you listening, who knows. Paul, this week you attended the launch of the McLaren 765 LT. Tell us more.
I think McLaren nailed their last minute change of plans because I think every manufacturer kind of got their back up against the wall. All of their plans completely shifted when Geneva and Switzerland completely stopped all of these crazy events happening. And I feel like McLaren nailed it in comparison to all of the other companies. Like me and Tony sat here, we're on social media every single day and we feel like we've missed a lot of these car launches. McLaren with their live stream was brilliant. They got a lot of press down. They got a lot of employees there and they still did what they were supposed to do in Geneva, just at MTC. And I was speaking to people at McLaren. They said it was so difficult getting the car back because the show got cancelled on a Thursday, I think
so,
and they had to get their cars back from Geneva to Woking over the weekend where commercial lorries aren't allowed to drive. So it was a real challenge to get all of the cars back. What was amazing, we saw an Elva in dark red, which was beautiful. Their sort of speedster, no windscreen. We had a crazy paint job on a McLaren GT, which everyone kind of brushed over. 765 LT, very, very cool. A little bit aftermarket feel to it. Kind of feels like it's a Novitec 720S.
Or Mansory 720S.
Yeah, like the exhaust tips were very cool, but I looked at them at the first, I was like, oh, I'm not sure my brain quite likes that. But what we can guarantee is that car is going to be an absolute beast on track. A lightweight, long tail 720S, which is already scarily fast, lightweight. It's going to really feel like a race car. It's not going to be anywhere near a Senna in terms of its aero and ability on track, but it's still going to be a pretty awesome car. Quite expensive, but in a couple of years...
How much is it?
I reckon about 280.
Plus options.
765 units, though, so limited.
Yeah, but I think that's a hell of a lot.
760 too many.
The thing is, like, so I spent a week with a TrackPack 720S, and at no point did I think this needs less weight or more power. Mm. That having said that, when we went out and did the 600 LT launch in Hungary, and they put us in a 570S and then a 600 LT, of course I could see room for improvement with the 570S, but it was night and day. Like those two cars are completely different cars. It's kind of mind-blowing. And so I'm assuming with the 765 LT, because LT is supposed to be the most engaging and exciting car in the McLaren range. So yeah, they're going to have done certain things to make it a little bit more engaging. Is it going to be any better? Like,
oh, 100% it's going to be better.
Sorry, better's the wrong word. Any more... Basically,
worth it.
On the road. Yeah, worth it. Like on the road, okay. Is it going to be worth it?
I'm going to fight McLaren's corner
here. No, please do.
I'm pretty sure you won't, but we've all been in the same conversations where we've all been very close to buying an LT product, okay?
Sure.
You're saying 570S versus 600 LT night and day. Of course it is. The 600 LT has something that we can't quite put our finger on the 570. It's missing something. The soul, the passion, the 600 LT has an element to that. The same with the 650S to the 675 LT. You've been very close to buying one of them. Like...
It's their best car they make, mate.
Yeah,
agreed.
The LT products carry something that their road-going cars don't, which I feel like is the passion that is missing from the McLaren brand that we get from the Ferraris, the Lamborghinis, and the Porsche GT products. So the 720S, do you remember when we drove it in Rome? We were like, This is the fastest thing ever. I can't believe it's this much money. And actually, we all said at the end, it's still missing something. So I think we need to reserve our judgment until we're behind the wheel of it, on track and on road, because I guarantee... it's going to have that passion that is lacking from the 720S.
Yes, I'm certain you're right. And yeah, I think even though Tony's burning a hole in the back of my head with a stare, I think we can all agree that McLaren LT products are fantastic products, Tony.
not.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to get into resale and value, but as a product.
As a car.
As a car, the LTs are always fantastic.
They are. The biggest problem with the 765? Will be the 720S. That's the biggest problem.
Because they're 150K.
Because they're half the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, so I think sometimes, mainly because of your job, but also the fundamentals of it, we sometimes get a bit caught up on money.
Let's look for a second. 720S, Senna. 765 is going to be closer to a Senna than it is a 720S.
Okay, but I think the Senna's a ridiculous car anyway.
Yeah, so do I.
Have you driven one?
I don't care. It's not as fast as a race car.
Drive one.
And it's 800 pounds. It's 800 grand or whatever it is. But I don't care. It's not as good as a race car. So you can have a 488 Challenge car, run it forever, and still have more money in your pocket and go faster.
Can't. I know someone with a 488 Challenge car. He's skint. It's like the most expensive car to run.
Okay,
but you're right, Tony. You're right. It's pointless. An actual Slicks and Wings race car is always going to be quicker than a Senna.
It's a road car.
On a Senna then.
No, it's a road car.
Yeah, there's a different element.
I mean, you cannot take that to Halfords.
But the thing is...
Oh, I can.
It's the same problem the Pista has with the 488, and arguably the image crisis that the Pista has, the fact that it's not as desirable as arguably a Speciale in the used market because the values are the same, is because I think people wrote off the 488. They were like, oh, 488's a bit boring, it's a crap Ferrari, Pista can't be that good. And also, they're too similar, so there isn't always that sort of like, oh, I've got to get that. But money aside, 765LT, I think you're right, 675LT, sorry.
No, 765.
God, it's confusing. It will be a fantastic car. Like, yeah. It will.
But I'm not disputing that. The 600LT is a good car. The 675LT is a good car. Me and you have spoke. I've nearly bought both of them. Mm. I just won't buy another McLaren, yeah. Which is a shame. But if you compare the 488 to the Pista, the 488 Pista to the 488, I think, having driven them both at length and owning a 488, the Pista's 20% better as a car.
Sure.
It's 20% better. And until you go on track, you're not really going to know the difference. And that's going to be the same with a 720 and a 765. Yeah. Until you actually drive it properly, the 720 is going to be better on the road. It's a road car.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's 150 grand. I know you said take price out, but that has to be a factor. Because it's not 20 grand. On the way in now, we were talking about AMG Pros and AMG GTRs. There's a huge price difference between the two. The Pros 15, 20% better. Mm. But it's not 100 grand better.
Yeah.
You know, the price difference is 50%. So it's a thing. You have to consider it.
Do you think there's something in the fact of if you were to pull up to the lights in a 720S and a 765LT... came next to you, you would go, oh, damn it. Because it's a bit like with the Pistas, you're right. Actually, you know, the 488 is on the road just as... I mean, you're going to get just as much. It's as quick.
How fast can you go on the road?
Yeah, put an exhaust on it. I mean, you're there. But if I walked into a dealership...
That's the phrase that I was saying. Put an exhaust on it and you're there.
Sorry, you're rubbing off on me. I've modified my 911 and now I'm stealing exhaust quotes.
And a Lamborghini as well. Yeah.
There is some truth in that, people. But you know, you're in a car show or whatever. If a Pista drives in, people go, ooh. If a 488 drives in, people go, ugh. And I think that will be the same situation with the 765LT. Whilst, you know, maybe it's not enough of a step up. It's just the newer,
better
version.
But that's car people that say that. That's car people, not car people. They would just go, that's a McLaren.
I drove a 570S through central London, it was bright orange. I heard someone go, that's that £1 million P1.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's not going to make any difference to people that are walking past. They're going to be like, that's a really cool looking car. What is it? Read it. McLaren. Nice. Yeah. Probably £1 million quid.
Fair. Yeah. Yeah, you're fair. You're right. Okay, well, let's wait and see. I think Paul will probably be going on the drive of that at some point, maybe.
I definitely won't be.
No. I'm not sure I will be either, unfortunately. But
I hope I'm invited.
Who knows? Wicked. Well, you can come back on the show afterwards and tell us how it is.
You can tune into my YouTube channel.
No free promotions on this podcast.
Yeah, we get more people watch this than your channel.
Anyway. So before we let Tony really run away with the rest of this podcast, I'm going to get a couple of cars in first. One that I don't think either of you care about, but I'm excited about, is the new Morgan Plus 4. I had my experience with the Morgan a couple of years ago now. They lent me one for the weekend, and I really, really enjoyed it, actually. And I even drove a... Oh, what was the one called with the fuggly eyes? I get confused.
We've all got fuggly eyes.
No. Anyway, they've updated this. This now has the Z4 engine in it. Not the... Well, it has the super engine.
Quite cool.
It's slightly updated bodywork and stuff like that. But the Still biggest thing the is just more space. More space in the cabin. And that was always the thing. It was a bit tight. But I'm actually genuinely intrigued by that car. I think it's cool. Different prospect. They're still expensive, though. 70 grand like that they start at.
Mm. Yeah,
so it's a lot
I saw them photograph that car in the south of Spain. So I got a bit of a sneak peek. And then like someone went up with their phone. And they were like, no, it's a brand new car. I was like... Oh.
It looks exactly... Yeah, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, as a non-geek, it's hard to tell the differences. But I think it looks nice. I think it's cool. And it's a sort of like... It's a very David Gandhi-esque car. You know what I mean? Like, okay. Like you kind of... I feel like it's a suave turn up to Henley Regatta. You know, it's just... Yeah. It's kind of cool. It's kind of different.
It's a posh man's catering, mate.
Literally that. So it's more of a cruiser than a all-out racer. But I like the look of it. Do you remember Cruel Intentions? No, you don't remember the movie Cruel?
I haven't seen a movie.
I mean, I do not watch telly.
Okay, no, this is a long time
ago. I watch the football.
Okay. We're big Tottenham fans, aren't we, Tony?
Yeah, we are, yeah.
I wouldn't shout about that at the moment.
Somebody picked up on some fake banter that I was giving Tony the other day about like David Ginola or something like that.
And they thought he was an actual fan.
And really kindly, actually, I should shout him out because he was very kindly invited me to a Tottenham game and I forgot to get back to him because I'm actually not a Tottenham fan.
Put him in touch with me. I'll go.
Sorry, whoever it was that was offering me that, I apologise I didn't get back to you. It slipped my mind, but thank you for the kind offer. I'm not actually a fan of football or Tottenham.
Although he looks like a fan.
But anyway, Cruel Intentions, amazing film. You should go and watch it. There's a lesbian kissing scene, which is a win. And anyway...
Podcast just took a downhill turn very quickly.
At the end, hold on a sec.
At least you got the right button.
At the end, the main character has like a, I think it's an old Jaguar C-Type or something like that, or at least an old XK1 to it. Anyway, he's cruising around this old car, very cool, and that's what I think the Morgan Plus 4 is about. Golf GTI, I mean, actually, I was going to sort of say we're not going to talk about that long, but I'm worried that Tony might talk about it.
No, I just think that it's for the people.
It's great, isn't it? 242 horsepower, 0-60 under 6 seconds, looks pretty good. I like the way the new, it's Mark 8, right?
Correct.
Fan of this? You're into your hot hatch at the moment. You turned up in a... Focus ST, right?
Focus ST.
So...
Of course he did.
What are you trying to say?
What are you saying, Tony? Tony, you're going to lose a lot of the audience in a second. I think it looks good, that Focus ST.
I think a lot of the newer Golfs kind of all blend into one, but this looks different, that I can tell that it's the Mark 8. The one thing that interested me, because I actually saw the launch of this, is that they put the worst wheels on the GTI. Yeah.
And the R. Then,
yeah, and then
have
on
they,
the GTD...
They haven't done the R yet, have they?
On the GTD, GTD and GTE, they put nice wheels on them. And I was like, as long as I can spec nice wheels on the GTI, I'd go for it. And I'd actually say, I've said this before on Twitter, that if I somehow came into a hell of a lot of money, I'd probably go and buy like a Polo GTI as my little city run around because I think they're wicked.
Oh, no, up. I'd have an up.
Up GTI.
Up GTI. Polo
GTI. I'd have Polo.
Polo's cool. The seats.
Yeah, the seats are mega.
No one buys Polo GTIs. No. It's so weird.
I see them good investment
the
then, isn't it? No. It's limited numbers.
Yeah, really.
I'll be coming to you in a couple of years. They only built
scratch number 02 out of 8.
We had this conversation the other day where Tony was saying that limited's not always good.
No, I know. I listened to that podcast.
Oh, yeah. Good man. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
There you go. Okay, so Golf GTI win. Let's see when they hit the road. I think that'll be exciting. And finally, before we move on to the big hitter of Tony's life, Aston Martin V12 Speedster. So this is the fourth car in the sort of vein of roofless, windscreenless, hypercar-y, following on from the Ferrari Monza, McLaren Elva. What else am I thinking of? Come on.
Not a clue. Oh,
is there another Speedster?
Yeah, there's another one. Oh, it's really annoyed me. Anyway, Aston Martin V12 Speedster. Someone remind me what the other one is that I'm totally forgotten. Yeah, I mean, what's it based on? Does anyone know what it's based on?
I asked this question because what I'm so interested about is I've been hearing rumours from within Aston Martin that they couldn't fit the V12 engine onto the Vantage chassis. It was about a foot too long.
Right.
What engine they got in it?
It's got a the V12. 5. Yeah, it's got the 5.2 litre V12 that you'd find like a DBS. But I really wanted them to make a V12 Vantage because that obviously is an iconic car pre-AMG, but they were telling me that it just doesn't fit. Mm. So I've heard mixed things that it's a totally new chassis, and I've heard that they've basically merged DBS and Vantage chassis together. I'm hearing different things,
sure,
but they seem to be the most logical given that the engine doesn't actually fit in a normal Vantage chassis.
It's probably an S-Class.
I mean, brutal. Did you see the news as well? They literally said the news today that they're going to be getting rid of those Merc V8s and they're doing in-house hybrid V6s.
Really?
Yeah.
They're all going that way.
I did a shoot back in Monaco 2 years ago, and they were saying that the new C63 is this
hybrid.
Yeah.
Oh no, but they're saying it wasn't going to be a Merc engine. Aston was saying it's going to be their own engine.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, hey, this was like a really weird tweet that I saw about 3 hours ago and thought I'd just lump into the podcast.
Without telling us, do not hold
me accountable.
Just like complete blindside us.
Yeah. Okay, well, Paul and I, we can probably go for a drink now and come back in about 15 minutes because Tony is going to talk to you all about the Porsche 911 Turbo.
S
for
S. No. What?
Is there a turbo as well?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm actually kind of on Tony's side, so you can take yourself to a drink.
All right, go on. I'm going to send some messages. You guys check.
Are you serious?
Yeah, mate. What do you...
Look, he's like one of these Porsche fans where he likes all of the slim body, narrow body.
Yeah, he's so weird.
Yeah.
So he doesn't like the idea of a Turbo S, yet he's just made his car a million horsepower. I mean, just go and buy a Turbo S, you weirdo.
I think the new 992 is the best looking 911 for a long time. I love how chunky it is. I love how much road presence it has. From the front, you can tell it's a 992. All of the other ones.
Stop.
You're like, oh, it's a 911. I don't know which one it is. I'm lost with all of the other ones. But this is iconic. I love that sort of like light bar at the back.
Yeah.
And now with the Turbo S, I think the Turbo S is a great looking car. I was kind of hoping them to do the GT3, but obviously they do turbo before.
Yeah, they always do turbo before. Yeah. GT3 will be next year. But, mate, if there's an everyday all-rounder supercar, sports car...
You'd buy an R8? Yeah, I know.
No, you...
Didn't see that coming. Turbo S, you've got... I thought you were going to say Gallardo. Yeah,
manual, though.
There isn't anything better, is there?
The only thing that I've found with driving Turbo S's is the sense of speed is lost. They're so fast, but you'll look down at the speedo thinking you're doing 70 and you're doing 160.
They are really dull.
Yeah.
They are really dull, but all modern cars are dull now.
Okay, well, so this is my little pet peeve here. Tony, as a Porsche aficionado...
I mean, I thought you was.
I'm an enthusiast. I'd call you an aficionado, considering you've bought every single Porsche over the last 2 years.
10.
It's bought about 12.
25 Porsches I bought in the last
there
four
you go.
Years.
Point proven.
25?
So, I feel like you've counted for some reason recently, but anyway. Someone's been having an argument. Do you not feel like this is the least 911 Turbo S? Ever.
What do you mean the least? I mean, I don't...
It's huge. Okay. It has nearly 700 horsepower. Good. A car company that has always prided themselves on less power, less weight, i.e. power to weight ratio. Okay. It's...
Apart from a Turbo S, because they've always had loads of power.
And but GT2 they haven't RS. Had 700 horsepower.
What about
mate?
918?
No. Chill
I
out.
Mean, I mean,
chill out. Hey,
no, well done.
Yeah. Yes, okay. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You put a bloody race engine V10 into a Carrera GT.
No, yeah. Hold on a second.
He's losing control.
Entertainment.
There's the 992 frustrates me as a 991 owner because I just think it's too GT car. It's too big. It's too fluffy. It's too soft. It's too made for the 65-year-old man and woman that want to wander into Porsche Mayfair and say, "I'll take one of those." And the Turbo, whilst it's never really been a car for me in the Porsche range, it's just. Going into this thing of 992 just not being for me.
No, mate, all new cars are big. The new Mark 8 Golf GTI is huge.
What's your daily driver? Mini?
Clubman.
Mini Clubman?
Clubman.
Same size as the
which is a... Exactly. Like they're even, a Mini's not a Mini anymore. No, it's huge. It's not,
I know. I
they
know,
are all big.
And I this mean, is a pet peeve. There's nothing wrong with the car. It'll be great, as you say.
Look,
it'll be
getting,
fantastic.
It's getting non-Porsche fans into Porsche. I like them now.
That's, you know, another, actually, that's another reason why I don't like it.
Do you know what I've actually said to someone? I said, if I had a lot of money and didn't do YouTube for a job, I would go and buy a 992 and daily drive it and be like the happiest man in the world.
No, you wouldn't. After 2 months, you'd be bored as hell.
Yeah, no, but it's a daily driver. You're not supposed to get enjoyment out of it.
Get a Bentley Continental.
Yeah, that's actually the car that has the sound system in. That's way better.
Which is made by the same people, basically.
Listen, I got caught up on the details.
I'd
have the Porsche because it's a sports car. The Bentley GT is not a sports
car. It's a wafter.
Okay. I'm assuming at some point a 911 992 turbo will come through your doors, whether it's personally or as a
one,
business.
I
would assume that.
They're a lot of money though.
I reckon now
150
plus.
Really?
175, 180 with options.
Yeah, yeah. So Bentley Continental.
Yeah.
So I reckon you won't hold on to it, whether it's a business car or a personal car, longer than a month. Can we just put that? I'm going to lay that down now.
Well, no, wait a minute.
No.
If they turd money, I won't hold on to it for a week.
Historically, they've held well, haven't they?
They do, yeah, they do.
I think you'll be bored.
Yeah, but I've got a GT car.
I've got a GT car.
No,
exactly.
I'll be fine.
He's in and out of cars all the
time. So you're going to take that bet with me?
No, do you know what?
He's
well,
not going to take the
no,
bet.
No, we'll take the
take
bet.
Take the bet.
Because,
oh, okay.
I'll win because on purpose.
You'll purposefully lose money just so that you win the bet.
How much will we bet? Oh. Probably about a tenner now. Yeah, you know.
The next coffee for our Sunday morning coffee.
Starbucks.
Oh, God. Okay, well, look, I'm sure there are plenty of cars that we've missed out on that we haven't talked about. Audi A3s, for example.
I would like to quickly brief.
Oh, no, I know where you're going with this.
I'd like to say something as well after him.
There are two cars that we are yet to see that have been teased on social media. I think they get a lot of attention at the Geneva Motor Show. Mansory.
Oh, my
they
God.
They always come
I told you I knew
with wild, crazy cars. And I love going to their stand because half of it's laughable, but half of it is quite cool. You want a Mansory DB11.
I do. I actually do. I think we're sick.
Mate, you should have let me go first. We could have just switched him off.
They are launching...
Yeah,
yeah. We have switched them off.
There we go. Mansory are releasing a Ford GT and an Aventador SVJ. And I'm so excited about it.
An Aventador SVJ.
I think the more impressive one is the Ford GT. Because what the heck are they going to do to that?
I can't wait.
Aventador's an Aventador. The SVJ is just the same thing with a stupid wing at the back. But, you know, fundamentally, Ford GT, I don't think anyone's modified one of them yet, have they?
No.
Apart from Hennessy. So.
Yeah.
Just because that conversation was really boring. Tony, what was your point?
Drove new RS6.
Oh, yes. We did actually tease this. We did tease
was
this
it
last
big and boring?
Week. Give us your thoughts.
What he just said.
big and boring.
It's just a new car. I mean, listen, I'm so over cars now.
I can tell. It's good that's your job.
Yeah, like that's it. Like so I only drove it like 50, 60 miles. Obviously, it's a brand new car, so I didn't lever it. It was a customer's car, so
you just cruised in it, basically.
Just cruised in it, and just
too usable, too comfy, too easy to drive.
Four wheel steering's good though.
Yeah, like, I can imagine that would actually help. Yeah, that thing is the size of a lorry.
Yeah, it's a big old thing. Yeah,
it looks good though.
Really good.
I think the old one still looks better.
No way.
I mean, you're getting caught up on the interior.
You're very quickly losing your spot on this podcast, I'm going to be honest. It's been a pleasure having you, but I think you've overstayed your welcome.
It's been a pleasure having you. Get out.
Yeah. I hope you all have enjoyed this week's episode, our sort of brief recap on the non-Geneva Motor Show. I'm sure there's plenty more to come over the few weeks ahead and also the year ahead. Lots more cars still to come our way. Paul will be back on the podcast in coming months. Formula One episodes you tend to like to appear on.
Or the cap especially for that promo.
Oh yeah, he's big on that Lewis Hamilton vibe. Tony, unfortunately, is here every week. But give us a thumbs up if you have enjoyed it. YouTubers, please make sure to turn on those notifications and subscribe, actually, in the first place.
And review.
And review if you're listening to us. Make sure to follow and review. We will catch up with you very, very soon. Adios.
Peace out.